Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome to this week's Racing Postcast. Maddie Plough off on our travels. So it's me, Dave Alton, with you in the seat today. Delighted to say, joined in the studio by Tom Park. He's put up Calix at 20-1 for the Commonwealth Cup. I saw, so he's got a bit of cockiness about him at the moment. We'll try and get that out of him. And Robbie Wilders, who once again has an essay of notes. We can't go wrong.
No stone left unturned.
Absolutely not. And delighted to say on the line from Paddy Power, Paul Binfield joins us. Paul, how are we?
Good afternoon, Dave. Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Had a good weekend. Enjoyed York. And I must give the boys from Middlesbrough a quick mention. 60 of them on a coach party. Going into the race course, they suddenly realised they got tickets for the wrong day. So I hope they managed to get in. Whether York substituted 60 tickets or not, I have no knowledge.
I was at Wembley on Saturday and I wasn't in the blue corner. So
oh dear.
I backed a couple of losers as well, so I'm in need of a couple of Phillips. Yeah. Shall we talk about the weekend then, lads? Let's get stuck into it. I mean, there was some, again, at the moment, this time of year, it's just cracking race after cracking race. We're building up to the Derby, obviously, Royal Ascot, less than a month away now. Loads of clues coming. At Newbury, should we stop with Crystal Ocean in the Aston Park Stakes, Group 3? Tom, what did you make of it?
Yeah, my first impression after the race was that wasn't actually as good as I was expecting from Crystal Ocean. That said, on reflection, he just kind of did what he needed to do. I think he's top draw. I was saying this at a similar point last season, but this surely is the year that he finally breaks that Group 1 duck. It's amazing, really, that a horse of his class has not actually got there. I think at the moment, he is probably the biggest threat, maybe alongside Magical, to enable out of the older horses, whether a three-year-old can come through and break into that, I'm not sure. But look, he did what he had to do. It wasn't the strongest of fields. I just think he's a very, very good horse. I think he'll probably win a Group 1, providing Enable's not there. I know they mentioned Prince of Wales. I actually think a few people in the office are saying, oh, that's surely too short for him. I actually think maybe the key to this horse, he probably should have won Group 1s in the past.
King George, he was a little bit unlucky.
He was a little bit unlucky in the King George, he was. He's always kind of been held up, produced, turn of foot and stuff. I wonder if they changed tactics with him in the Prince of Wales. Maybe he's riding him a bit more prominent and just really go quite hard from the front. Maybe something will take him into the race. Whether that could be his day, because I just think if Enable doesn't turn up to that race, I'm still not convinced Sea of Class probably wants that trip. I'm not convinced if Sea of Class full stop, to be honest. But I think that could be the race for him, Royal Ascot.
Interesting. Larabin second, Robbie. What did you make of the form?
I thought he's entitled to do that with the class he's got. I was also, I was slightly concerned by the 1 mile 2 trip. I think his best form was over 1 mile 4. That King George run where he nearly pipped Poet's Word, trying to make all, was top class. That looks the ideal race for him. I would question if he does have the speed to live with the likes of Enable and the Prince of Wales is. The Hardwick looks an ideal race for him, I'd say, but that's a Group 2. Is there an argument that could be promoted to a Group 1 one day?
It's a tricky one, that, isn't it? Because you've got the King George.
The horses will try and, exactly.
It is tricky. He won that last year, of course.
He did.
Really short price. It was a really short price on Saturday, Paul. Have we got a market for the Royal Ascot race for Crystal Ocean?
Yes, we have. We went immediately after the race, Crystal Ocean, 7/8 for the Prince of Wales. He's now into 13-2 for that race. Sea of Glass, already mentioned by one of you, 3-1 favourite, 7-2 Enable, 6-1 Magical, 13-2 Crystal Ocean, it's 8/8.
13-2, lads, that's a little bit bigger than he might be on the day, isn't it? The public love this horse, don't they?
I wouldn't be 100% sure he's definitely going to go, though. That would be the...
We're talking about a load of mile four horses in a mile two race, really, aren't
we? Yeah, I think the race could cut up, but if that's what they've said his most likely target is, the Sea of Class might not turn up.
Sorry, Benners,
I was expecting Stout to not really commit after the race at Newbury, but he did seem to indicate that the Prince of Wales is going to be this one's target, and probably for the reason Robbie already mentioned, try and get that Group 1 in the bag.
Talking of Stout and getting Group 1s in the bag, Lock-In Stakes, yes. Moustachery. I didn't see that coming, lads. Did you?
Nothing in his form suggested that performance was possible, really.
120 plus, wasn't it? So, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it seems like the sort of division where they might just keep beating each other and someone just sort of has their day in the sun. A good performance showcasing Stout's genius with older horses. But I was actually quite taken with Le Bravido, who's a horse that I'm keeping on side very much this season. He was quite slowly away, given a very lenient ride in fifth. Wildly drifting in the betting beforehand. He went off 8-1 when he opened up around 7-2. It looks like the Queen Anne is going to be the race for him. And some bookmakers reacted in the aftermath and actually drifted him for the Queen Anne, which I thought was quite surprising. I think that he looks a very fair price for that.
It was a huge price, wasn't it? Le Bravido, of course, Lawrence in second, Accidental Agent in third, last year's Queen Anne winner. What do we make of the Mile Division at the moment? Everyone's saying it's wide open. I mean, it looks like it's, you know, needs a star, doesn't it?
I mean, you'd probably say it wouldn't be great if Mustachery went on to dominate the division, because we know Mustachery's not a great horse.
He might be one in a Group One, wasn't
he? He's probably improved over the year, which is rare for a six-year-old, but he's not a real star horse.
He still went off only 9-1, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a wide open race. I agree with Robbie. I think Le Bravido was given a strange... He looks a complicated ride. I don't know why he's done that twice now. He's taken a long time to get going. He stayed well, which I think a lot of people going into the race were thinking, oh, is a mile a trip for him? We don't really know a lot about him. He did stay well. He's got form at Ascot. I think Robbie's right. I think bookmakers probably overreacted at pushing him out. I saw about 14-1 the other day. I tipped him up in the paper for the Queen Anne the other day at 12-1. So I'd definitely be keen on the 14s if it's still there. But I do think that something will improve past Mustachery. I think Lauren's will improve for the run.
It's a good run from her, wasn't
she's
it?
Proven
she's
proven now. She is honest, and she's proven that she's not that far. My worry with Lauren's going to the race, I absolutely love the horse, but was whether she could do it against the colts, because she's won all these Group 1s, so they've all been against fillies. She ran in the QE2 last year, and she'd probably at the end of a very hard season, but she didn't run anywhere near a race. That was a lot better, and it was much the Lawrence we know. And given the way that she runs, she's probably going to thrive off her racing. And yeah. I imagine she'll come on bundles for the run. They would be the two that I would take from the race, Lawrence and Le Bravido.
I think I'm in that camp as well. Robbie?
I totally agree. Yeah, Lawrence would be the other one that I'd highlight, echoing what Parky was saying. First run back, she's going to keep progressing throughout the season. Unexposed against the boys, kept beating the fillies, but I mean she's beaten some very good fillies still last season, and in an open division, I expect her to be winning top class races this season.
She's quite easy to back on Saturday as well, wasn't she?
Yeah, the whole field is madness, really.
So Binners, what about the Queen Anne? Can anything come out and follow up at Royal Ascot according to the market?
Well, according to us, yeah, Mustachery will follow up. 4-1 favourite from 20-1 for the race now, Dave. Le Bravido, 8-1 second favourite, along with Lawrence. Can't separate those two. 10-1 in Zaire, last year's Queen Anne winner, Accidental Agent, and it's 12-1 the rest.
Lockinge Cod is a great card at Newbury on Saturday, isn't it? The London Gold Cup, serious three-year-old handicap. Headman, top weight, seeing off Shinjari. Who I was on at 7-1, watching at Wembley just as I went into the Lions' Den. Robbie, top handicap form?
I think so, yeah. I know the man sat next to me had quite a nice interest on Headman as well.
Ah.
I'm a big fan of these Kingmans. He looks a sire very much going places, and he has gone places. It'd be interesting to see where he goes from here. He's winning that off the mark in the low to mid-90s. He looks a group horse in the making. And I'll be keeping him on side wherever he goes next.
He's a big boy, Parky, isn't he?
He is a big boy. And as Robbie pointed out, I did the Saturday jury for the paper on Saturday, and I put this horse up thinking that it would probably be about 5 or 6 to 1. And when it drifted out to 14, so I was thinking, what on earth is wrong with it?
Yeah.
He still looked green to me. He settled a lot better, which was the reason why he won the race. I don't think his class was ever really in doubt, because he has looked out of class at times. But he settled a lot better. He still looked green at the finish. When the jockey really asked him, he was moving right, left. I think he drifted left in the final few yards, which nearly threw the race away, really. I think, as Robbie alluded to, Kingman is a sire. He's not just siring sprinters like Kalix, who arguably could probably win 5 furlong races. But this horse stays a mile two, could even stay further if he learns to settle better. He had the winner of the Musidora the other day. That's serious, serious talent for a sire to be siring sprinters and middle distance horses.
Is the ground important to them? Well, I think I covered a race for the Racing Post where one of his two-year-olds won on soft ground. It might have been the two-year-old at Chester, actually. Full authority, might run on Thursday in the National Stakes. I think he was Kingsman's first winner on soft ground in this country anyway. Hebman, his reappearance was on that tacky ground.
Yeah, I think the ground pit, I think certainly with Hebman, I think ground is going to be important for him. He looks, as you said, he's a big horse, and he travelled so much better at the weekend. I think he needs a strong pace as well. Whether they go for a race at Royal Ascot with him, maybe the Tercentenary Stakes or something along them lines, I think he is a group horse. Yeah. That was a really good performance to win a race like that off top weight. I think if you look at the likes of Al Kazim and
Roger Charlton, now 4 from 4 in that race.
Yeah, exactly.
Time Test went on to Royal Ascot, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Time Test was the one I'm thinking of. Yeah, he went on to Royal Ascot. Did he win the Tercentenary?
He did. Yeah. He did. I was there that day and he went whoosh straight.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what kind of price he'll be. There's still a little bit of greenness to get over, and I wouldn't be overly confident in backing him at a short price. But if you were to get 5 or 6 to 1 plus, I think he'd be a good bet for that kind of race.
That was a massive drift then, Binners. It was a huge gamble on Chinjari, wasn't there? 7 to 1 at the start of the week, Haggis's runner up.
Yes, indeed, Dave. Yeah, and it nearly came off. Just came up against a good one, as you guys have alluded. Hebman could be a group horse. He's entered in the King Edward the 7th Stakes. Whether he'll turn up in that or the Tercentenary, we will find out. But when Roger Charlton enters one in the King Edward the 7th, you really know that it's a decent horse.
Yeah, Atty Purse and the likes of that, of course, following up at Royal Ascot as well. It wasn't just about Newbury on Saturday. Newmarket had a good card as well. Certainly, it was good to see the front of the card packed, I thought. You know, starting off with Razier as well, Andrew Balding, 2 from 2 now, looks pretty impressive. This season he's really come into himself, hasn't he?
Yeah, I was very impressed with Razier. He looks hugely progressive, really. Again, I thought he might be one possibly for the Tercentenary, but they might have bigger fish to fry. I wonder whether he might look at France for the Prix de Jockey.
That was mentioned, wasn't it?
Was it? Yeah, right, yeah, I think he looks top class. That was a really good performance.
Ate some real in second, of course, who could just be one for the handicap.
And Al Halali in third, I thought he might serve up to the favourite. He was obviously that big blonde.
Did you back him then?
I did back Al Halali, yeah.
What went wrong?
He was, I don't know, maybe he's just not quite as classy as Connections Fort. Do you remember the gamble on 2000 Guineas Day?
It was a bit of a rush, wasn't it, from that to that? They sort of rushed him in this, didn't they? It was
quite a ridiculous move on the show. I don't know where he'll go next, but he remains a horse to be interested in. But yeah, the winner was very impressive.
A race to look out for. Old Persian won it last year, didn't he, of course? So
yeah,
maybe it's still time for Al Halali then. What about, also on the card, Jash came back, didn't he? Yeah. Second to 10 sovereigns when last seen. 7 furlongs for him. Workmanlike?
He was quite workmanlike. He's coming back after a bit. The others had a benefit of a run, I think. Yeah. I was quite impressed. I think he's proven that he stayed a little bit further. I've always had him down as a Jersey kind of horse. 7 furlongs Royal Ascot. Probably. I don't think he actually handled the dip, which is strange for a horse that ran so well in the middle part.
He looked like he was going to go clear, didn't he? And then I thought maybe stamina's running out, but he just...
Once he hit the rising ground, he did take off again. But yeah, I wonder whether he just struggled to handle the track. As I said, it is a little bit strange considering he was perfectly fine on it last year. But Ascot, I think, will bring out a little bit more improvement of him.
Yeah, I think Connections are kind of set a conundrum because he saw the 7 furlongs out quite well, but... They'll probably, the Jersey isn't a Group One, and then there's the Commonwealth over 6. And
you weren't so impressed then, Robbie?
No, I was impressed, but I think the Jersey would probably be the ideal race, but they'll probably try and avoid it because they're trying to get the Group One into them and down, either down in trip or... No, I mean, it looks a good Commonwealth, doesn't it? And 10 sovereigns as well.
10 sovereigns has already been.
And then the St James's Palace, you've got Magna Grecia likely coming over too darn hot. The Jersey looks his race. He's done well to beat horses first time out. Azano ran in the Guineas. Watan, pretty classy horse. I don't think you can say he didn't stay. He remains a horse to be interested in, and he's got quite a lofty rating as well. And I'll be keeping him on side.
It was a good sprint handicap, wasn't it? The 315, that 3-year handicap over the years has thrown up some decent ones. And Pan Sly had the winner, that Dazzling Dan.
Yes, Dazzling Dan. I forgot about that. Yeah, it was an impressive performance, that.
It's a 9-2, wasn't it? So
yeah, yeah.
Thought of.
Yeah, yeah. I think Jimmy Hill tipped it up on the post because he was giving it a good roar in the office. Yeah, it was an impressive performance. I'm not sure where they go with him next. What kind of rating was he running off that?
Probably, he was top weight, I think, wasn't he? Was it 96, something
so
like that?
So he's probably going to be looking
for that Doncaster defeat. 95 pennants, was it? Yeah, OK.
So, I mean, it'd be at least Pat and company for him next, possibly some group races.
That's interesting. I mean, these three-year-olds, as we see, they can go on to Stewards Cup, can't they, and things like that. You know, so I think he's a pretty good horse. That Dominus was second to the stout filly Jubiloso, is that right? Yeah. She was also impressive, wasn't she?
Jubiloso, that does look a horse there.
Yeah, it looks destined for the...
Where's that going to go?
Coronation Stakes, I thought was the...
Coronation Stakes, Jersey?
Could be an option.
Yeah, wouldn't rule the Jersey out.
Angle a group on carrot, though.
Is it half sister or sister? Sister, isn't it?
It is a relative.
Yeah, they don't always turn out to be anything like the siblings, do they? But she does look pretty something else.
That looked. She looks a Group One filly, so yeah, I'd be thinking Coronation over.
Anything else on Saturday? That's what we've got to talk about next. Over, of course, at Oitoi, there was a big meeting. Benny DeJure did it again. Did you back her?
Yes, yeah. I
did, yep.
Whoa.
Sorry to jump in.
No, please, please, I don't want to steal your thunder.
I love this horse. I've mentioned on here before, I've always been a massive Apples Jade fan. I kind of thought that this time last year I was thinking, oh, well, Apples Jade didn't turn up. If Apples Jade turned up, this thing would spit her out because she's an absolute machine, she is.
Yeah, people were making excuses for Apples, weren't they, last year? You know, maybe a bit in season at the time. But Benny DeJure was...
She came a bit under the radar, didn't she? I think she'd, like, won some chases at Carlisle and then, like, she was, like, thrown into the Grade 1 hurdling mix. It's what's interesting, going back to her chase form, she is rated 147 over fences. Now... I wonder whether they will take advantage of that mark this summer.
And Ladbrokes Trophy.
Possibly a Ladbrokes Trophy
already.
Or maybe a Galway plate. I think
she came in late, obviously, didn't she? So, relatively.
I think they'll be looking at... She's 147 over fences. Willie Mullins often switches them when they're that well handicapped. Often the other way it tends to be, where they tend to have a low hurdle rating over fences. But I would not be surprised if they looked to go. She was a brilliant chaser.
I'd like to see it, but they wouldn't tend to do that with a horse that's top class. I don't think. Maybe a horse that's.
They've also got some serious firepower in the, Gold Cup division now, haven't they? So
exactly.
Stayers Hurdle. And does that look the way forward for her now? She's proven her stamina.
Well, they didn't go a massive. Of a toy. I mean, she'd be interested for it. She just seems a bit like Vroom Vroom Mag, just really versatile.
Who started over
the hurdles,
exactly. Fences. Yeah.
And she's actually unbeaten for Willie when standing up as well, so we don't really know the ceiling.
I was galling at that one. That was unbelievable. Still can't quite get it.
Deja Dieu, as one of our page editors, came up with a good headline.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I love Benny. It was quite a remarkable price on the French tote. It returned around 9-1.
Wow. Because De Boncourt was the hot favourite, wasn't it?
Yeah, just like 2-5 on the French tote, which geez.
Who finished second, of course, at the
form. Ran well, yeah, but.
Yeah, didn't it?
Maybe just overestimated.
Mares dominating again. Binners, Stayers Hurdle, long way off, of course, but people like to get stuck into these anti-post prices. What did you introduce her at for that?
Yeah, long way off, Dave, but yeah. We think she's now the one to give Paisley Park a run in the race for it next year. Paisley Park, 3-1 favourite. Benny DeJure was already in the race at 16-1. We halved her to 8-1 after that, and then it's 10-1 if the cap fit.
8-1, lads?
Not for me. I still think that if the mare's race is wide open for her, that's where they'll go. And she's got a lot of speed. I mean, I always thought she was a similar type to Annie Power. I wonder whether it'd even... drop back if it turned out to be a really weak division in the
£7 penalty for a top mare
isn't it? If that was a non-runner no bet price, I'd be licking my lips, but it's not, and you're trying to preempt Willie Mullins at this stage, let alone a week before.
I just don't know if she's a proper stayer, and that was a slowly run race. She's all class, don't get me wrong. Her class could get her through. Nearly got Annie Power through, but at the end of the day, Annie Power got beaten that race, and she was top class. And Paisley Park looked very, very good last year. And if there is a horse that, if you are an undoubtful stayer like Benny DeJure,
he'll exploit it.
Yeah, he will exploit it, yeah.
Yeah, okay, interesting. Let's talk about Sunday as well. We must talk about that. Probably over in Ireland was the main action. Aidan O'Brien had a four-timer. I worked it out about 127-1. Where do we start with him? Pistoletto, let's talk about him, the two-year-old. Everyone was getting hot about him for the Norfolk after he won on his debut. He was workman-like, but there was an excuse, wasn't there? I missed the race, I must say that.
He was bleeding out of his mouth at the end. I'm not sure what actually happened.
Had to take him out the stalls, didn't
he? Had to take him out the stalls at first. I don't know if that's why he was bleeding at the end or whether he just cut himself on the bit, or it could just all be totally irrelevant.
He might have done well to win that.
I mean, yeah, he looked like he was going to get... It was a really good race to watch, and this, it looked like he was going to win, and then it looked like he was going to get beat, and then he come back and he just edged out in the end. Class horses find a way to win, so if he did have a serious problem, then he's probably done well to win that. Whether I'd be backing him for a Norfolk on the back of it, I'm not quite sure about that.
Walders, you're the Irishman, come on.
Tough experience, second time out. Yeah, I mean, on form, he was probably entitled to win a lot easier than that, but he had to overcome quite a lot of adversity.
5-1 on, wasn't he, for that yesterday? So they obviously like him and great.
He was really well backed as well. I mean, I think that it opened up two.
Seems plenty short. I know it was only a four-runner field, but I don't know. I'd be interested to see what sort of price is for the Norfolk, but I'd be wanting probably double figures, to be honest. Well, that might be too much to ask.
We've got Paul Binfield on the line, so we can ask Binners. Norfolk Stakes Binners, 14-1, is that right?
Yeah, Robbie can have 14-1. He can have that double-figure price. We only priced the race up yesterday. We've got Hurricane Ivor in there at 6-1 favourite, then 12-1 Bomb Proof. And we've only got two others in the market at the moment. It's a difficult one to call. Full Authority and Pistoletto, both on 14s.
Did we see some other Royal Ascot winners, potentially? Etoile, should we talk about that?
That was very, very... I mean, just having...
He had the hot favourite, didn't he? So wonderful, is it?
So wonderful.
Who was beaten
that first time out?
East Charter,
for Aidan is pretty crazy.
12-1 shot,
Given an opening quote by Paddy, I believe, for the Albany at 5-1, which
is must that right, Paul?
A bit skinny.
That is correct. Yep, 5-1. Very impressed. Winning a Group Three on your first start is impressive.
And the runner-up gives the form some substance.
Yeah, Peace Charter, who's obviously a maiden winner already. Very taken by that. Alpha Centauri won this race 2 years ago as well. If she can go on to be anywhere near as good as Alpha Centauri was, then they'll have a lot of fun with her. But she must be a good filly. You're expecting, they'd have probably been happy if she ran on well into third or fourth, but she's exceeded expectations, market expectations. And very, very eye-catching, one for Royal Ascot.
The hat-trick was completed by So Perfect in the Lacken Stakes, so the listed Lacken Stakes. That was just Aidan O'Brien's third win, straight win in the race. Parky, were you taken by her?
Yeah, I've always had a bit of a soft spot for this horse. She's just remarkably consistent, and I'm glad that they've dropped her back in trip, because I think they'll get some decent results out of her this year. Whether she's good enough to win a Commonwealth Cup, I highly doubt, but she's a very, very good horse. And if you see her in the flesh, she's a really nice looking horse as well. That was a nice performance. I think that they've got the bottom of her now. She's been a bit of a funny one to get right. She's clearly got talent. But
well backed as well yesterday, wasn't she?
She was well backed. And I think sprinting should be the making of her this year. She really put that to bed. She's got stamina on her side
that's
as well.
For me there as well. Wilders?
She gave Advertiser a real scare in the Phoenix Stakes last year in a Group 1. That's they'll be going for Group 1s of her. I wouldn't say necessarily that... I mean, she's got form over 5 furlongs, but she seemed to get 7 in the Fred Darling in the Fred Darling at Newbury. One to have a lot of fun with. I don't know exactly where she'll go. Royal Ascot, probably the Commonwealth, and that's shaping to be a very, very good race.
Yeah, Binners, can we have a look at your Commonwealth Cup market? This is one of the races of the entire meeting now, isn't it? 10 sovereigns. We're expecting to go there, I think.
Yeah, it's looking really good. We put So Perfect in at 12-1 amongst a few other horses, Dave. 12 from 25, So Perfect. Calix led the market at 5-4, 7-2, 10 sovereigns. 10-1, Shine So Bright. And then a host of horses that I've just mentioned on 12-1.
Okay, thanks for that, Paul. So that's a look back after this break. We'll have a look forward at the midweek racing.
What's my horse's handicap? The fact that you're backing him? Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Okay, then, let's have a look at some midweek racing. And we've got no Dante meeting, obviously, but it's still another sizzling. This time of year is great, isn't it? We've got perhaps the best evening card of the entire year, the Brigadier Gerard at Sandown on Thursday, Parky.
if not the best card, it's the best booze up. So
is that right? Are you
going
to go?
Yeah, I'm going. It's always a good booze up with Mr. Keeley. I always end up in trouble when I'm out drinking with him. So it's,
who doesn't?
Well, yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'll be lining my stomach probably from now to prepare for that. Really good card.
Yeah.
It's a couple of group three races.
National stakes as well, isn't it?
National stakes and the Heron stakes. Really, really good card.
Heron stakes, of course. Yeah, Gosden likes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. I think DXB is the one who is probably the standout on the card.
In the Henry second stakes, isn't it? Circle won it last year, didn't he? He's back after that decent comeback at Chester. But is he as good as DXB? That's the question.
Magic Circle, that might have taken a bit out of him in that Diamond Allman stakes.
Quite a quick turnaround, isn't it?
Yeah, soft grounds. I wouldn't be 100% if he didn't turn up there, but he was ultra impressive last year. I like Parker. I really like DXB, what he did in the Cigarro stakes over 2 miles. Looks like he might have found his niche over staying trips. Royal Ascot Gold Cup, very much circled on the calendar. He's the one to beat for me in that.
Charlie Johnson did mention yesterday on the telly that if the ground wasn't, if it was too quick, then they might skip it. I don't think they're too, they wouldn't be too disheartened if they had to go straight to Royal Ascot. I think they took key about they need to find some ground for him. They're happy to risk him at Royal Ascot, I think, but before that, then.
He showed us a 3-year-old, didn't he? A definite liking for a bit of ease underfoot, and it was just quick enough for Ascot.
At the time, it seemed like he was frustrating, but he was maybe run over the wrong trip.
He should love Sandown, shouldn't he? That hill.
If he gets his conditions, I think he's got a really good chance.
Perhaps expect him to be favourite then. Another horse that needs to bounce back that would want some easier ground is Palaster for Roger Varian in that. Johnson's got Making Miracles, a Chester Cup winner in there. I'd be tempted to say that he has had an extremely tough race in that, but these Johnson horses, they don't have them, do they?
Well, we said a similar thing about Magic. I remember Magic Circle, everyone writing it off last year, saying, oh, well, it had a really hard race in the Chester Cup and it bounced back. And Johnston really does get them going once he gets them on a roll. So it wouldn't concern me having a quick turnaround with a Mark Johnson horse.
Could he be a flyer for the Gold Cup?
I mean,
or is this absolute madness?
Could be asking a lot there, Dave. But I'd be interested to see your opinion on. Maybe that might.
He got going. Did he get the run of the race at Chester?
It was interesting, wasn't it? Because he was drawn so wide, so you marked that performance up there. But they did get across quite easily, didn't they? Him and Ryan Moore went at it, hammer and tongs a long way out. Just incredible how he kept going. You just wonder whether the form of a Chester Cup on that sort of ground, whether the race fell apart a little bit.
Yeah,
sure.
I'd probably go along with that. I'd be surprised. I don't even think he's good enough to win this, so I'd be surprised if he's an Ascot Gold Cup horse. But look,
yeah.
I do like a John. It wouldn't worry me at all, the turnaround with a Johnson horse. They seem to thrive on the racing, and he'll stop them when they stop thriving.
So DXB, two ticks?
Yeah, if he runs. I don't know when it's going to get priced up, if it's priced up yet, but I'd be tempted if and when it is. If it's before declarations, I'd just take a chance on maybe Mekong for Sir Michael Stout. This horse was progressive last year. It ran really consistently in handicap company.
What about ground for him? Oh, that was a question that came into my mind.
He was running a lot of heavy ground.
He was running. I think did he run good ground last time in a listed race? I think he was.
Haydock, when he
bolted up on heavy by 7.
Yeah, it was ridiculous performance.
Yeah, 4 years old, gelded, Sir Michael Stout. Yeah, I was quite interested in him as well. He's only £8, rated £8 lower than DXB as well. Gets £3.
I've got him on my horse tracker as saying back when stepped up in trip, so I suppose
you're gonna have
I've
to
got
be with him. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be
in your inebriated state on Thursday.
Price, I'd imagine as well.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, Paul, we haven't priced up that race at Paddy Power yet.
We haven't, no. Okay. But interestingly, Mekong does seem to have some quite good form on good firm ground, lads. And DXB looks the class horse in the race to me, second to Massar in the Derby, but if you look at the ratings, you guys quite keen on Magic Circle unless he had too hard a race at Chester. And he's £4 well in on official ratings with DXB if they both line up.
What price did you go DXB after the Ascot success for the Gold Cup, Paul?
For the Gold Cup? He's towards the head of the market there, Dave.
I've thrown that one at you. Sorry, mate.
That's all right. No, he's a 10-1 chance for the Ascot Gold Cup, so he's fourth best in.
And what price is Stradivarius after that Yorkshire Cup a success.
We went 6-4 from 2-1 for Ascot after York. Dave Cross counted second, 11-2. Southern France 9-1, and it's 10-1 bar including DXB.
It does look like that's the highlight of the night, doesn't it? We've got the Brigadier.
Yeah,
Group 3, Gerard.
Brigadier Gerard, I don't know if it's a most vintage renewal. I came down one here who I actually put up on the postcards for the Lockinge, but he didn't turn up. Regal Reality, again, Sir Michael Stout.
Travelled really well on his return there, didn't he?
He did, not beaten far by Sharjah Bridge and beat the bank. Unexposed over 1-2 miles. Stout's won at the last 2 years of Autocratic and Poet's Word. I'm not saying we're seeing another Poet's Word here, but... he does look very interesting.
Do you think he'll go off market leader for that? I mean, we've got Matterhorn in the race
I'm
as well.
Through the runners now, Dave, and yeah, Matterhorn.
Knight to Behold, second, of course, at Crystal Ocean. El Arkham.
It's a good race, isn't it?
What's happened to El Arkham? Is he just a morning glory then?
It wasn't the worst. I mean, that form's starting to work out. Is it the Earl of Sefton he ran in behind behind Zabil Prince,
Forest Ranger, Forest Ranger, Ranger Mustachery.
And then so
he's gonna have his backers again, isn't he? If he turns up, and
yeah, I think
sensing that you guys aren't gonna be with him.
I like Matterhorn.
He is a remarkable horse, isn't he, Matterhorn?
Yeah, he's two runs on turf as well.
Yeah, but I mean that
wouldn't have been his ground really at Chester.
No, it wasn't his ground at all. And Charlie Johnston was on the telly yesterday, and he was saying that definitely wasn't his ground.
Yeah.
It was a good run behind Forest Ranger. We've just said that form of the Earl of Sefton was franked when Mustachery won. I like this horse. I just think that he could be a little bit underrated. And this track will definitely suit him better than Chester, and I think the ground will as well.
Okay, that's interesting. So, you know, a belter of a card at Sandown on Thursday, thinking DXB, if there's a little bit of juice. They will water, won't they? I mean, it's Andrew Cooper. The Clark of the course is probably the best in the business, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a little bit of rain forecast this afternoon, and then possibly a few showers on Thursday. The rain's coming at Friday at the moment, but whether that blows through a bit quicker...
You never know what you're going to get at the moment, do you? You've literally got no idea. Okay, so we've got Goodwood has a really interesting two-day meeting as well, starting off on Thursday. Listed Height of Fashion Stakes, has been an Oaks trial in the past, and the Cocktat as well. Parky, have you had a look at these?
I've had a look at the Cocktat, yeah. There's an interesting Gosden run, which I imagine will go off favourite for this in Private Secretary.
He is a very exciting horse, isn't he?
He looks very, very exciting. And there's one of Roger Varian's called Fifth Position I thought was interesting.
Nottingham winner.
Yes, he beat a horse called Space Blues that day. Who absolutely hacked up at York last week.
He's on shot at Nottingham, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He was turned over. And at the time, you probably thought, oh, Space Blues has kind of not run his race. But look, they got him out pretty quickly to win that race at York. And these Varian horses are running very well. He's got a talented string in his yard. This could just be one that'll slip under the radar against probably a warm favourite in Private Secretary.
In your biblical notes, Wilders, have you had a look at these?
I wouldn't have a massive amount to add here. I'll be very much more focused on the action at the Curragh this weekend.
Okay, all right, so maybe we'll have a little look at that. Up until that point, it's time for the midweek naps.
This will not be beaten.
Go on then, Robbie.
Midweek nap. It's torn between two, but the one I'm going to plunge for is one at Brighton tomorrow. The 3:35 mile handicap, a course called Prairie Spy, trained by Mike Johnston in the Matterhorn and DXB colours. Really caught my eye a few runs ago at Goodwood off a mark of 84. Missed the kick in a nursery there and kept on really eye-catchingly. She had a couple of runs since. She's not shaped too badly, but she's been dropped £3 overall. This doesn't look anywhere near as competitive as that Goodwood race, and I'd expect her to go well at what should be a fair price.
All right, Brighton then tomorrow. Parky?
One at Wednesday, 2:30 air, horse called Brendan. I would advise anybody to watch back his last run at Newcastle. He's ridden right out the back. He soars through the field under minimal pressure. He's trained by Jim Goldie, who's won this race 3 of the last 5 years. I am very, very sweet on this one. It's a 26 runner, 6 furlong handicap, so you might get a decent enough price on it as well.
Two fair odds so far. What about you, Benners?
Well, I like the look of full authority for David O'Meara in the National Stakes at Sandown on Thursday at 6:35, Dave. He won his maiden at Chester by 6 lengths, so he's not the darkest horse in the world, but they seem to know what they had on their hands. He went off favourite that day. Okay, He was nicely drawn in stall three, and he'll want a nice draw at Sandown. But he looks really good, and he could be a Royal Ascot juvenile, this one.
I'd agree with that. Another son of King Man. Okay, they're the midweek naps. After this break, we'll have a quick early steer on Saturday's racing.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Okay then, Saturday, another weekend, more classic action, Ireland's turn to shine, but we'll get to that in a minute, because Saturday, Haydock sees a return of the Temple Stakes, there's a Sandy Lane Stakes as well, so it's really all about the sprinters. There's a couple of really good handicaps, the Silver Bowl over a mile, often see some Royal Ascot horses in that. Let's talk about the Temple Stakes then. If they all turn up, this could be an absolute belter. Catchy was scratched because of the ground at Chester. Mabs Cross, she came back on her return. Sergei Prokofiev was behind her that day. He's going to get a chance for some revenge. And Batash as well, who Charlie Hills is really happy with. Where are we going with this, lads?
I think Batash is the most talented runner in the field, but he is quite mad, isn't he, really? Questionable temperament.
Sometimes the best horses are, aren't they?
Charlie Hills might agree with me when I say that. He did win this first time out last year under a penalty, and he doesn't have a penalty this time around.
He was a massive drifter, wasn't he, last year? Do you remember?
I did, yeah.
About it.
And he had the reopposing Mabs Cross and Catchy in behind. I just feel like Catchy just might be a different beast this season.
Because of the wind up?
Yeah, the wind up's made a massive difference, hasn't it? I know he's done most of his win on the all-weather, but I'd be looking to take on Batash with Catchy, and the other one was Sergei Prokofiev.
Wrong at Newmarket for him? Did he get too far back?
I don't know exactly what. I was expecting a bigger run, but...
Everyone,
because he was good on his comeback. He won on his comeback, but I've already backed him for the King's Stand. I'd imagine he'll be a bigger price in the betting than the three main protagonists, and they would be the two that I'd be looking to take on Mabs Cross and Batash with.
I saw you shaking your head a little bit there, Tom. Are you
in
agreement?
I agree with Robbie on Catchy, absolutely. I agree with him on Batash. Batash will probably be a 6-4 favourite. Whenever Batash is favourite, he's worth taking on because he just doesn't win that. There's too many worries about Batash, and until he puts two or three runs together at tracks like Ascot at York, where the atmosphere and everything, he needs to prove he can handle that. And until he can do that, the talent's there.
Yeah. Mabs Cross?
Mabs Cross is a high, high class sprinter. She is probably my favourite flat horse in training.
Wow.
We came also close to landing a right old anti-post gamble at York last year. I still can't believe she got beat.
Unbelievable.
She is top draw. That was a really serious performance to under a penalty to beat a horse who I think is really good in equilateral as well. I just don't think Sergei Prokofiev that race was good enough. I think there's them two, Mabs Cross and Equilateral, and that Palace House Stakes will be very, very close at Royal Ascot. I think that the track will probably suit Equilateral better, so I'm expecting him to overturn the form. I know Mabs Cross won't have the penalty at Royal Ascot. I expect he'll turn over that form at Royal Ascot. I'm quite keen on him for the King's Stand. I think Mabs Cross, whatever happens on Saturday, whatever happens at Royal Ascot, I think she's an absolute certainty to win the Nunthorpe Stakes. I just think that everything that happens at York, where they get racing quite far out and nice flat, stiff... It turns out it'll be a stiff finish at York. I just think it suits her down to the ground. Yeah. I'd probably side with Catchy in this, but just because Mabs Cross has got a penalty. I think Newmarket probably suit her a little bit better than Haydock. I think that Catchy is, as Robbie said, he's top draw. He's so fast.
Yeah.
And I think he's the cat. Look, he was the one that Batash beat last year, I think, wasn't
he? Yeah, because he drifted. Do you remember that? I think this is his acid test now. I know that might sound strange for a horse of his age and mileage, but since that wind up, I mean, Chester's perfect for him. Mm. Turns out Lingfield is as well, surprise, surprise. Probably one of the best all-weather sprints I think I've ever seen.
He's just so quick at breaking.
That's just unbelievable, isn't it? He's gone. So this is his acid test. Will he hang on the straight track? That would be my slight concern. So no prices yet for the Temple Stakes, Paul. But the King's Stand, this is going to make a big ripple for that market, isn't it? Who have you currently got as market leader for that?
It will indeed. No, we've got Godolphin's Blue Point, Dave, 130
last year's win up, yeah.
Last year's winner, exactly. Batash, 6-1, so it'll be interesting to see how he gets on Saturday. For what it's worth, I think he's a certainty on Saturday. 13-2, Mab Cross, 10-1, Equilateral and Soldiers Call, and it's 12-1 bar.
Okay, so catch you a big tick there. We're hoping that Calix might make a second reappearance. You're certainly hoping that, Barkey. You're on at 20-1 for the Commonwealth Cup.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just a bit annoyed that the Commonwealth Cup's turning into the race of the meeting. I'd rather them all just go elsewhere. Yeah, look, Calix was so good, wasn't he, the other day?
There was talk of him going for the Temple Stakes, wasn't there?
This is much more. There's no point dropping him back to five.
What does that say about him? Do you know what I mean? That he can go in the Sandy Lane Stakes, which is also on Saturday, and that's, you know, a leading Commonwealth Cup trial. The Gosden is thinking, well, maybe we'll make hay while the sun shines.
Yeah, he's the exciting horse this year, I think, isn't he? I mean, you watched the 2,000 guineas the other day, you're thinking, well, it was a bit of a, you kind of felt a little deflated after the race. The Derby trials have all been won by Ballydoyle, or Two Darn Hot's been beaten. You're looking and thinking, where is this real superstar going to be this year? And Calix is the one, I think, that could really just tear it up. That's pretty
good. Yeah, I think there's an argument to be made. He could be the most talented 3-year-old in training right now. He's been campaigned as a sprinter, and it's this point we might never see him over a mile because he could do even better.
We might see him over. I mean, that performance in the Coventry Stakes last year was just absolute, because you watched it back and advertising the Sir Guy Prokofiev have good horses on the other side and they had the run of the race. Calix has won his side by about 10 lengths.
He could have been called the winner at halfway, couldn't he?
Oh, he's just absolutely.
And that came quite quickly after his maiden win, didn't it? So.
Yeah, yeah.
A couple of weeks, wasn't it? He's an unbelievable horse.
I guess if there is a negative that he had that setback, second run back, it's going to be a really short price. I mean, he's up against the likes of True Mason and Vintage Brute, like, you know, as good as they are.
Hardy campaigners, they wouldn't be in the same league as him, but if he bounces off the layoff, as you say, that would be a worry. But it's going to be a watching brief because he's going to be heavily odds on.
Yeah, so. So, Paul, we're expecting him to be really short on Saturday. What have you got him in for the Commonwealth Cup at the moment with Paddy Power?
Well, Dave, just before we go to that, I mean, he will be short on Saturday, but one horse we haven't mentioned is Hello Yume Zane, dropping back a furlong after being fourth in the Greenham Stakes. And if you look at ratings, he's not far behind Calix, officially behind Calix, and he's a 20-1 shot for the Commonwealth Cup, which could yet prove to be value. But yeah, Calix for the Commonwealth Cup, 5-4 favourite, 7-2 10 sovereign, shines so bright it's 10-1, and it's 12-1 bar.
5-4 for Commonwealth Cup. That's with 10 sovereigns in there.
Sitting on the 20-1 vouchers, laughing their head off.
Looking quite smug in the studio.
Yeah, but 10 sovereigns is going to have his fans as well, isn't he?
I love 10 sovereigns as well. Yeah.
There you go. So you might
have a match. I really like Lady Kaya as well in there. I think she looked like she was going to. She must have traded a short price in running for the 1,000 guineas, but didn't quite see out the mile. Back down in trip, she's no a forlorn hope, I'd say.
Okay, it's interesting. So we've mentioned the guineas a couple of times, of course, at the Curra. We see the return of the Irish 1,000 guineas on Sunday. It's 2,000 guineas time, and we've got two horses who prevailed at Newmarket looking to back up. Tom, Magna Grecia, good thing?
Yes, I think it's mainly because the opposition, I don't think, is going to be there to really give him any worries. I feel like people are a little bit quick to blame the draw and everything. I thought the form of his Racing Post Trophy worked out quite nicely. Yep. He's a top class horse. I remember watching his maiden and putting him down thinking, God, that was one to watch. And he's just a typical improver for Aidan O'Brien. I think he will. I know they're sticking to a mile for now. I do think that over the course of the season, possibly Coral Eclipse, maybe start stepping up in trip. I do think he'll probably be even better over a mile and a quarter. Whether he'll get a mile and a half, I'm not sure, but I think a mile and a quarter, we'll definitely see him later on in
Derby,
later on this
year.
That's
quite interesting. Magna Grecia?
As Tom alluded to, it looks a lack of opposition, really.
Phoenix of Spain could come back.
Phoenix of Spain was the one I was going to touch upon, because he wasn't beaten far. He was beaten ahead, wasn't he, in the 13th Futurity behind Magna Grecia. If he's ready to go first time, I'd be interested in him. He'll be an each-way price, certainly, but if you had a run behind him, you'd be more interested, but I think... Yeah, Magna Grecia shaped like the best horse, regardless of the track and pace bias at Newmarket.
Skardu, he was on the wrong side.
Ran well. He'll be in the mix, but I'd probably have Phoenix of Spain is slightly more interesting, and he's a slightly bigger price as well.
First time out, it's going to be
Is Skardu definitely going to go? Is that the plan?
He's in the market, Paul, isn't he? What prices have you got?
No, I don't think Skardu is in the market, lad. So I don't know if he's been ruled out of the race.
What price Magna Grecia then, Paul?
4-7 favourite Magna Graecia, 13-2 Phoenix of Spain for Charles Hills, 7-1 Decrypt, 8-1 Never No More, 10-1 Line of Duty, Mad Moon and Shalir, and it's 12-1 Bar.
So if Phoenix of Spain turns up, we're looking at a match probably, are we there?
I mean, if you're going to back, if there is a bet, you probably back Phoenix. If you know that he's going to go, you probably back it each way, and that race is going to tear up. You think Mad Moon and Line of Duty, I can't imagine they're going to be going for the Irish Guineas. So.
On Sunday, of course, we've got the female equivalents, and Hermosa, the hero or the heroine of the 1,000. Kabbalah could reoppose potentially. Has she got any claims?
That'd be very interesting. Yeah, I didn't initially see her in the market, but that would be a fascinating entry. I was really impressed with Hermosa's toughness at Newmarket, making all the running. She looks like the mile might be the bare minimum trip she wants at this stage. So I'd be looking to take her on. If she were mine, I'd be thinking about going up and trip for the Oaks.
What would you try and get her beaten with?
Well, I've got a couple, actually. I wondered if Binners might read out the market first.
Okay, Binners, let's do that. Can you give us the 1,000 market, please?
Yeah, we can't separate Hermosa and Kabbalah, Dave. We're 5-2 joint favourites, and it's 4-1 Lady Kaya for Sheila Lavery, 5-1 Just Wonderful, 8-1 Skitter Scatter and Fairyland, 10-1 East, and 16-1 Bar.
All right,
Bobby, go for it.
10-1, that's too big, doesn't it?
Which one?
East.
Third
in the French Guineas. I heard yesterday that she's going for the race as well.
Does she want soft ground?
Well, I mean, she's by Frankel. There might not be enough evidence of the exact ground
she's
conditions.
She's definitely shown a liking for it, I think so.
Yeah, it's fair to say that, but that French Guineas form looks good form. She'll improve from that. Maybe the race didn't pan out as best as it could.
Yeah.
I thought she'd be short and 10-1 there for me. The other one as well that Binners didn't read out, but it was Zagatova. Have you got a price on Zagatova, Binners?
Yeah, 16-1, Robbie.
16-1, that looks too big. There was nothing between her and Hermosa as juveniles at all. She seems to be kind of the forgotten filly at Ballydore at the moment. She was actually fourth behind Lady Kaya in the 1,000 Guineas try over 7 furlongs at Leopardstown on her return. We've not heard any from since. She looks an out-and-out miler on pedigree. She just looks too big to me. She might be stepped up in trip as an Oaks filly, but when you look at her pedigree, it doesn't suggest that she'd get a mile and a half. That 40-1 looks too big for me.
Couple of shouts then. What about you, Parky?
I'm going to take a chance on Just Wonderful in this. Ballydoyle's fillies, they tend to improve at different points in the season, three-year-olds. If you look like Minding, she got beat in the race. She went on to bigger things, obviously. But like, you look at her in winter, they were the standout fillies for O'Brien. But other ones, this race often throws up a surprise result, and sometimes it comes from the O'Brien stable. I think Just Wonderful was shorter than Hermosa in the 1,000 Guineas betting at Newmarket. She's shown glimpses of her brilliance. When she won the Rockfell, she looked like a real super filly. I just think we've not seen the best of her yet, and Aidan O'Brien will get the best out of her at some point. It's just at what point in this season where he finds a race for her to win.
It makes it tricky for punters, doesn't it? You know, his third strings, you know, which I think Hermosa was.
They're always overpriced, really.
Be afraid of taking an O'Brien
absolutely
price?
Absolutely not, no, because they don't know exactly how these fillies are going to progress throughout the season.
So, are the 1,000 much more open than the Colts?
Hermosa had the race to suit in the 1,000 Guineas, but I'm not quite sure Just Wonderful did. Smaller fields, definitely.
Round a bend now, of course.
Round a bend, yeah. I think, is going to suit. She's got a bit more speed, I think, than the favourite, and it will turn in. Just naturally, a smaller field race turns into a bit more of a sprint than a race like the 1,000 Guineas, where she could just really go, Hermosa could just go as hard as she liked up front, and they had to go with her when she's not going to have that luxury here. So I'm going to take a chance on Just Wonderful, I think.
We've also got the Group 1 Tattersall Gold Cup, which it's hard to know at this stage without entries, but we're looking at Magical probably being the favourite for that. So Michael Stelt took Crystal Ocean back to Newbury rather than take her on, and he's desperate, you know, for that top level success for that colt. So suggests that she might be a short price favourite in that.
I would think so. Yeah, as Robbie pointed out earlier, the guy for Charlie Appleby is
to bounce back, doesn't he?
He does need to bounce back. I was kind of hoping that he'd be in the art mix this year, but it was a really disappointing run. I'm sitting on a big anti-post double on him and Chacun Pour Soi in the Champion Chase, which could potentially pay my wedding off, but I'm not too convinced.
Always wishful thinking about that. I'm going to tell you from experience. That's
barely
happens.
Yeah, this wedding might not be happening unless I find some sort of route, but we'll see about that.
Calyx at 20s.
Calyx at 20s. That'll get us somewhere there. Now, look, I think that Gaev probably wants a mile and a half in the long run. He looked a little bit slow last time, which he hadn't before that, to be fair. I'm hoping that we just put a line for the run. That said, I think Magical is top draw. And if there is a horse that's going to be given and enable something to think about this stage in the season, I do think that Magical's probably the closest to her.
Like at Churchill Downs last year, of course.
Yeah, that was a top class run. But I think Magical, if I'm trying to get her beaten, and I think she's best over a mile and a half, which is a mile 2.5, the Tats Gold Cup. Call me absolutely mad, but I've come down on one that's got a lot to find in the ratings. I actually made a bet with a couple of people in a Race Post editorial at the start of the season that Amadeo Modigliani would place in a Group 1 this season eventually. He's been kind of disappointing, but...
It's a project that needs a bit of revamping, that one, I've got to tell you.
Absolutely, yeah. I'll try and make a case for you, Dave. On his last run, he was behind Imaging, who since went out and won the Gladness Stakes. He had Lebrovito and Romanize in behind that have run okay in the Lock Inch. The third home won the Group 3 at Nace yesterday, surrounding. He was running, he had his two runs in quite a quick succession when the yard wasn't really firing on all cylinders. The yard's going absolutely superbly now. They've always fought a hell of a lot of them. They've kept him training as a four-year-old. He's rated 98, so, I mean, boy, has he got to improve, but you'll be getting a big price. The field could cut up, and if there's any sort of 25s, 33s to nick a place, that might be the way I'll be looking.
It can cut up the race, can't it? Which is
there was only five runners last year, I think. Yeah. It was Lancaster Bomber beat the foe. It's pretty desperate renewal.
Hard to remember that.
So it might be, if Gaev turns up, then that will bring a class edge to the race. Yeah. But yeah, I'll be looking for something at a big price to nick Antipost when it cuts up.
So that's a look at all the serious top class action coming your way. Don't forget, if you like these shows, don't forget to rate them, review them, talk about us on Twitter, however you're looking at us. And thanks for watching today. Don't forget, Bruce will be back in the chair with the team, giving a really in-depth look on Friday at the weekend racing. We've also got our EFL show, and there's Europa League on Thursday to get involved with as well. So I'm David Orton. Thanks very much for watching.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.